The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Mishpatim. In Mishpatim there are many, many mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs which I mentioned in this week's Seder, which I would like to dwell on this evening, is found in Shmeis Chof Beis, Posuk Chof. It states as follows, V'ger leiseine v'leich silchotzenu, ki gerim heisim beretz Mitzrayim. The ger, the stranger, this refers to the convert. Leiseine, you shall not harm him. Sone means to harm him with words. You shall not hurt him with words, insult him, make him feel badly. Silchotzeno, Rashi brings Zeilus Bomen. It means to harm him monetarily. Shouldn't do anything that will cause damage to his material possessions. Kigeri Megisim Eretz Mitzrayim, because you yourselves were stranger in the land of Egypt. A little further in the Parsha, Perechov Gimel, Posuk Tes, it states, again, the ger le silchots, that you shall not harm the ger materially, vatem yudatem, yudatem is nefesh ager, and because you for sure know how a ger feels, being a stranger, ki geri me yisem eretz Mitzrayim, because you yourselves were geri, were converts, or were strangers in the land of Egypt. So here we have where it states that you should not harm him with words, and you should not harm him materially, and it's mentioned twice in our Sedra. Actually, this is mentioned many times in the Torah. The Gemara brings in Bab Metzia, Perek Azov, Daf Nun Tes, Seif Omad Beis. Tonu Rabbonin, Hama'anes Agir, someone who harms the convert with words. Eva Bishlei Shalavim. He transgresses three negative commandments. As it states, V'ger Leiseine, V'chi Yogor Itcho Ger Ba'atzichem Leiseine Isai, V'Leiseinu Ish Es Amisoi, V'ger Bechlal Amisoi. Besides the fact that the Torah specifically prohibited us in two places in the Torah, that we should not harm him with words, he's also Bechlal Amisoi. He's also another person, he's another member of Israel, so therefore he's included in the prohibition and the law of Leiseinu Es Amisoi, that we're not allowed to hurt any Jew with words. So if someone does that, he would be able to transgress three negative commandments. Belechatzai, and someone who harms him materially, namishleisho. He'll also transgress three negative commandments, as it states, veleisilchotzenu, veleigerleisilchotz, and veloyekineshe, vegerbechlalhu. Just like we're not allowed to harm anyone materially, not allowed to take something from him, and also the Gemara includes this, that if someone owes you money, and you certainly have a right to get your money back, but if he doesn't have it, you're not supposed to press him for it. That's included in this commandment. So, therefore, if you do it to a ger, you'll be able three times, because twice does it state this by the ger, and a third because he's inclusive in all of Israel. Tanya Reb Lezer Agodleimer. We learned that Ablezer Agodl said, "Mipnei ma'izira teira belamad vav mekemis, v'ram yilo b'mem vav mekemis." That in 36 places in the Torah, and some say in 46 places in the Torah, they weren't explicit prohibitions, but nevertheless, the Torah mentions there how much we must be careful with dealing with the ger. Why did the Torah do this so many times? Mipnei shesureira, because Surei Ra means because if you harm him or if you hurt him, it could be that he'll go back to where he came from and you'll chase him away from Klal Yisrael. So this is why the Torah has cautioned us and has warned us of this 36 or 46 different times in the Torah. Why does the Torah say that you should be careful in dealing with the ger because you were strangers in Egypt? What does one thing have to do with the other? When someone himself has an imperfection, if he has a blemish, if he has something that he's ashamed of, then don't bring it up to your chaver. So that's the same thing. Don't remind him that he is a stranger, that he is a newcomer, because we were in the same situation in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Then the Gemara says, "Einad amri inshi dezokif le skifa beduka le nemele lechavre zokif bintei." If someone, mishi esh le toli b'mishpachtei, if someone, heaven forbid, he had someone in his family who was a criminal, and he committed serious crimes to the point where he was guilty of capital punishment, and they hung him. So he's very sensitive when it comes to hanging things. He doesn't say to other people, "Hang this up for me," or "Hang that up for me." So this is the same thing, that we have to have that sensitivity. We ourselves were gerim, and therefore we have to have that sensitivity when we deal with gerim. Now this is in regards to the negative aspect. We find also a positive aspect that the Torah has commanded us. In Parshas, in Parshas Ekev, Dvorim Yud, Pasuk Yud Tes, Torah tells us, "Bahaftem esagir." You shall love the gir. Ki gerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you yourself were gerim in Egypt. So here the Torah is commanding us not only that we shouldn't hurt him or harm him in any way, but we shall love him. The previous posuk, Pasuk Yudches, states, "Eise mishpat yosam ve'almono ve'ev ger lo seis leilechem v'simlo." That HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the ger, because he does justice with the orphan and the widow, and he loves the ger, and he gives him bread and clothing. The Rashi mentions, "V'dove choshevu." We shouldn't think from the fact that he gives him only bread and clothing, this is not very important. "Shekol atzmi shel Yaakov avinu al zeh yispalel." Because when Yaakov asked something special from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, "V'nosen li lechem leechol beged lilbesh," that you should give me bread to eat and a garment to wear. So here we see two things. Firstly, that the Torah has commanded us, besides the negative perspectives, a positive perspective where we are obligated to love the ger. Be'aftem es ager. And again, ki gerim ha'yisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you yourself were converts. Secondly, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself loves the ger, as it states, be'ehev es ager. See, be'ehev ager, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself loves the ger. According to this, we could say possibly that there's another obligation on us, another commandment to love the ger, because we are commanded in Valachta Bidrochov to walk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, to do what he does, that all of the good qualities that he has, we are commanded to have. So if we see that he has this quality where he has a special love for the ger, then we would also be commanded. So that would be even a further mitzvah. So we have special positive commandments and special negative commandments regarding the ger. And the Rambam brings these lahalocha. The Rambam brings in Perek Vav of Hilchas Deyos halocha dalet. Avas Hager Shebo V'nichnas Tachas Kanfe Yashchino. This that we are commanded to have a special love for the Ger who has come to seek refuge or to seek part, to seek the security of the Shechina. Shtei mitzvos esei. There are two positive commandments. Achas mipnei shebuhu bechlal reiv. Firstly, we have to love him because he is now a Jew, so he is in the general category of v'yachta l'reyacha kameicha, that you shall love every fellow Jew. V'achas mipnei shu ger. And secondly, because he is a ger. And the Torah commanded specifically that we shall love the convert. Then the Rambam continues. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us in loving the ger just as he commanded us in loving he himself. Because it states, V'after Seshem Elokecha, and it states, V'after Sager. So in the same language that the Almighty commanded that we shall love him, where it states V'aftas Hashem Elokecha, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that you shall love the ger. So we see how far this mitzvah reaches. And then the Rambam says further, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzmai Ev Ger, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows a special love for the ger, as it states Yonemar V'Ev Ger. And these are the sources which we quoted. This is in regards to the positive perspective. In regards to the negative perspective, the Rambam also brings these halachos. He brings them in Hilchos Mechira. Perek Yud Dalet, Posuk Tesvov. Kol ha'ma'ane es ha'ger, whoever harms the ger, bein b'momen, bein b'dvorim, whether monetarily, materially, or verbally, motionally, eva b'shleish shalavim, then he transgresses three negative commandments, as it states, v'ger leiseine, zu heinais dvorim, leisil chotzeno, zu heinais momen. The first one had to do verbally, the second one refers to materially, holamadet u'shir kolamanes ager eva b'shleish shalavim. So from here we see three transgressions. Why? Because also there's leisenu isha samise. Again, he would be also in the general category of any Israel. And if you harm any Israel, then you transgress leisenu, so there would be three. And then he says the same thing, v'lechatzu, that if you harm him materially. So this is a basis, a foundation that we find here in our parsha, and in other parshas, of the Torah's special direction, how a Jew must deal and his attitude must be towards the ger, towards the convert. What is the reason for this? Why has the Torah singled out the ger for special treatment? There are a few reasons. Firstly, because he is amongst the umlolim. He is amongst the downtrodden. A stranger doesn't feel the same as people who are not strangers. Like it states, you don't come into a new place and find old friends. So he always feels a little out. And because he's amongst the downtrodden, therefore, he is closer to becoming hurt and being sensitive than other people. And that's why we always find him that he's placed in the category of the almono v'hager v'ayosum, that just like the Torah has singled out for special treatment the widow and the orphan, that in general we are commanded that the downtrodden we must take special care for of. And that is why the Torah writes ki gerim ayisim eres Mitzrayim, and we should be specially cognizant and sensitive of this, because we ourselves were strangers. See, we were strangers for 400 years in a land which was not ours. and we were wanderers. And therefore, we must be specially cognizant of this. That's one reason. A second reason, like the Gemara mentions, Mipnei Sureira. We don't want him, if he has come to seek refuge by Israel, we don't want to create a situation where he will leave and he will return to where he came from if he gets the cold shoulder. See, if he gets bad treatment. Therefore, that's the second reason. A third reason is, why were we commanded in a Abba Yisera, in a special love to him, is because he is coming from far to cleave to the Shekhinah. And we have a general principle that people that come from far deserve special treatment. For example, there's a pasuk that states, Shalom, Shalom, L'roch Eikul HaKorev, that we extend Shalom to those who come from far and to those who come from close. First, we are obligated to extend shalom and to greet those who come from far, and then those who come from close. For example, if you make a chasana, you make some other type of celebration, and people come from Johannesburg, and others come from Durban, and others come from Cape Town, and others come from overseas, first you're obligated to extend a welcome to those who come from the furthest, from overseas, and then those who come from out of town. Why? Because they have gone through much more effort to participate in your simcha than the others. It's not that there's anything wrong with those that came from Johannesburg, but the others have put in far much more effort, especially if they're coming all the way from overseas. And therefore we have to show our warmth and our gratitude towards this. That's why it states Shalom Shalom L'roch Eikul HaKorev, first to the Rechaikim, to the furthest, and then to the close ones, the ones who come from close. Now the same with the Ger. The Klal Yisrael, they came under the Shekhinah Hashem, but they came from close. The Gerim come from far away. They come from far away nations. Therefore we are obligated to show a special respect and a special love for them. And this also is Ma'ere. This brings a special love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to them, because it shows a special effort. See, a Jew is a Jew because the original generations were like that. We were all Gerim at one time. But today a Jew is a Jew because he's born a Jew. But Gerim, they are Jews because they wanted to become Jews, and they had to put in great effort to become Jews and to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like a Baal Simcha appreciates, he appreciates when someone very, very far away has come to share in the Simcha, so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a special appreciation for this individual who did not have to become, he did not have to become obligated in all 613 mitzvahs. There was no obligation on him. He didn't have to come and make himself into a Jew. But still he wanted to, and he went through great difficulties, and he came from far. Kodesh Baruch Hu shows a special appreciation and has a special love. And therefore we are also obligated in this. So that's a third reason. Firstly, they're from the town downtrodden. And secondly, we don't want to chase them back. And thirdly, because of the extra efforts that they have shown. Incidentally, this that we say, that we're obligated in Avas HaGer, the special love, this really begins, it's interesting to note, I mentioned this in the past, this really begins, at least by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only from the time that they become Gerim, but even before. We find in Sefer Rus, Sefer Rus, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yutes, when Rus was returning to Eretz Yisrael from Moab, and she had with her the two women that her two sons had married. One was Rus, and the two sons had died, and she was returning empty-handed. Her husband also had died, and they lost their fortune. And she was returning empty-handed to Eretz Yisrael. And these daughters were not Jewish, and they wanted to go with her. And she said, "No, don't come with me, because I have nothing more to offer you." And you're from a different land. They actually were princesses, daughters of kings. You're from a different land. Stay where you are. And it states that one of the women, Orpah, all right, she decided to go back. But Ruth Dovkabo, Ruth insisted on going. So then her mother-in-law told her that if you'll come, you'll have to live like us. And our life is not so easy. We do not have only 7 mitzvahs to keep, we have 613 mitzvahs to keep. And she said, no. She said, whatever you'll do, I'll do. And Naomi started to tell Ruth all of the difficulties, the way a Jew has to live, the many, many mitzvahs. And she still said, no. She said, whatever you do, I will do. Only death will separate us. So therefore, so once she saw that she was so insistent and so determined, she stopped speaking about the subject. And together they walked back to Beis Lechem. So it states together. Rashi brings the Chazal. Omar Rabbo, Borei kama chavivim agerim livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbo said, come and see how dear gerim are to Hashem. Kiven shenitna daita lizgayer. Once she decided, she made up her mind that she will be mizgayer, she will convert. Hishva yisa hakosav Naomi. So now she's referred to as shtehem, together. Vatelachno shtehem. What does it mean, together they walked? Naomi was the mother-in-law, this was the daughter-in-law. Naomi was a great, great tzaddikus, a very, very righteous woman. It states when she left the city, it made an impression, it made a vacuum in the whole city. She was a very, very righteous woman, and Ruth wasn't even Jewish. So how does the Torah, the Sefer Megillah write about them in one vein together? Because once she decided that she wants to be Mizgayer, so then in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes already she's something very special. See how dear Gerim are to Hashem. Not only she wasn't Mizgayer, but once she decided to, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at them both the same. So this Avas Ager, at least from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't only start after the conversion, but once they're determined to convert. what we're saying, have many practical ramifications. Okay. For example, when it comes to monetary laws, besides being careful not to harm any of their money, when it comes to lending money, we have to make sure there's a mitzvah to lend money. There's a special mitzvah then to lend money to a ger. When it comes to gift stocker, a mitzvah to gift stocker, there'll be a special mitzvah to gift stocker to a ger. Parnoso, there's a mitzvah to help someone with parnoso. Direct business his way. Give him business opportunities. Then with a ger, there'll be a special mitzvah. The same thing when it comes to, as we mentioned, you speak to someone, you have to speak to everyone carefully to make sure that you don't hurt him. But in the ger, there'll be a special requirement. Loshon Hora, the Chofetz Chaim brings it. Loshon Hora we're not allowed to say on anyone. If you say it on a ger, then you're going to run into extra troubles. There's going to be extra prohibitions here. chinuch, when it comes to the mitzvah to teach people or to be makarav them to Torah, they or their children, bikachelim, when it comes that if someone is sick and there's a mitzvah bikachelim or nichum aveilim, or to comfort the mourners, in other words, all of the inyonim of chesed and stoker, which is a mitzvah to every Jew, there'll be a special mitzvah then, special ramifications to Gerim. And then the samchum, to make them happy. There's a mitzvah, a great mitzvah, to make a fellow Jew happy. You bring simcha to a ger, so you'll have a double mitzvah. In particular, we see this by the regolim. In Parshas Re'eh, at the end of Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tes Zayin, Posuk Yud Aleph, where the Torah is telling us, "Bisomachtu b'chagecho," that you shall rejoice on the chagim. So there, the Torah tells us, "Bisomachtu lifnei Hashem elokecho," you shall rejoice before Hashem your God. "Ato uvincho uvitecho v'abdecho v'amosecho v'halevi Hashem b'shorecho v'hager v'ayosim v'almono." You should rejoice before Hashem, you. Then it states your son, your daughter, your servant, and your maidservant. The Levi, because he didn't have a portion in Eretz Yisrael, in the land. The Ger, the Yosom, the orphan, and the Almon Asher Bikebecho. So lists eight people. So Rashi brings from the Sifri, Arba Sheli Keneger Arba Shelcho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "V'somachto lifnei Hashem lekecho." I will bring you happiness, and I will allow you, or I will assist you, in rejoicing on the Yom Tovim before me, and I will bring happiness to the four which belong to you, if you will bring happiness to the four that belong to me. Who are they? Bincho vitecho v'abdecho v'amosecho. Your son, your daughter, your servant, and your maidservant. If you will rejoice my four, that's the Levi and the Ger and the Yosem and the Almona, the Levi and the convert and the orphan and the widow, then I will rejoice your four. I will bring happiness to your four. You want happiness in your household, your son, your daughter, and your servant, and your maidservant, then bring happiness to my, take care of my four. And amongst, these are the those who need assistance for one reason or the other, and amongst them, therefore, is the Ger, because he needs a special boost, as we've mentioned. Actually, the Rambam brings this, Lahalof, Rambam brings this in Hilchis Yantiv, Perek Vav, Halocha Yud Ches. Halacha Yutes. Excuse me. In Perek Vav Halacha Yutes, Kishu Eichel V'Sheisa, when a person eats and drinks on the Moadim, Chayv LaHachel LeGer LeYosef UlaAlmona Im Shar Aniyim UUmlonim. And he's obligated also to bring simcha, to make sure that there's enough to eat and drink by the ger, the orphan, the widow, and all of the downtrodden. Avol mishenail dalsis chatzerei. But someone who closes the doors to his, to the gates to his property, va'echel v'sheis uvan v'ishtei, and he eats and drinks together with his children and together with his wife. Ve'ena ma'echel u'mashkel anim u'lemeri nefesh. L'mori nefesh, and he doesn't feed the poor or those who are downtrodden, those who are embittered. Ein zu simchas mitzvah l'simchas kreisei. This is not considered a simcha of a mitzvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't look kindly towards the simcha. This is purely a simcha of eating. Say, and to come No rafesim. See, the yamtiv wasn't, was, it's a mitzvah to eat on yamtiv also, but the yamtiv wasn't given just that it should be gastronomic. See, just that it should be only eating. But when a person eats, but he, together with his eating, he makes sure, and he shares with those, with the Gerer, the Yosef Almona, those who are downtrodden, and those who are embittered, then it's the greatest Simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But otherwise, it's called Simcha Kzu Kelein. It's a shame and an embarrassment by those who only take care of themselves and their own family. That's why it's the Minig Kol Yisrael, the communities would always go on fundraising campaigns before the Yom Tovim, so in order to raise money to make sure Pesach would be most heating, but in order to make sure that everyone will have enough for Yom Tov. Now the whole concept of Gerus, though, is something which needs understanding. Why? For many aspects. Firstly, the Ger is someone who's not, he's not an Israelite. He's not from the children of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. He never stood on Sinai to receive the Torah, and therefore he was never commanded in the mitzvahs of the Torah. So how is it possible that he becomes a Ben Yisrael, he becomes an Israelite, he becomes from the children of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, he becomes commanded in the mitzvahs of the Torah? Alright, it's true he goes through certain mitzvahs. He has to go through he has to go through Tefillah and Milah and Kabbalah's mitzvahs and Korban. But still, how does that make him Jewish? And when in reality and by birth, he's not. And he didn't stand at Sinai. Secondly, Torah was given exclusively to Israel. We know that all the nations of the world are commanded. Adam HaRishon was given 6 mitzvahs. Noach was given 7. 7th. But that's all. So they were only given 7 mitzvahs. Torah was given to Israel. So how now does this person come and he gets a chelek in Torah, he gets a portion in Torah, and he becomes a mitzvah in mitzvahs, commanded in mitzvahs, and where he can say asher kitchonu b'mitzvahs v'tzivonu, he can say tala kodesh baruch hu, you commanded me in mitzvahs. Thirdly, the Gemara says in many places, the ger, once he converts, he is like a child which has become born. He is a newborn. What is meant by that? So this whole concept needs clarification. What we can add to this, which is a very great tema, a very great wonder, is that our history is full of illustrious Gerim. Some of our greatest, greatest personalities have been converts or descendants of converts. And we can start with the first Ger after Matan Torah, which was Yisro. Yisro was so great that one of his names was Yeser, because he was Yiter Pasha Achas B'Torah, because he added a Pasha to the Torah. Do you know how great you have to be to add something to the Torah? Yisro came and he offered an idea, and Moshe thought about it, and he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they agreed, and it became incorporated in Torah, in Torah Shebiksav. Do you know how great you have to be? And this is why he was called Yeser. This is besides all of his other greatness. See, this was Yisro. And specifically, we find also that not only did we have great illustrious individuals who were Gerim, but in special relationship to greatness in Torah. like Yisro. Another example was Ruth, we just mentioned. Ruth became a Geyoris. From her came David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. David and Shlomo were descendants. They were just a few generations after Ruth. Both David and Shlomo were very, very great Baalei Torah. They were great, great Talmidei Chachomim. David wrote the Tehillim. Shlomo HaMelech. He wrote Shir HaShirim and Mishlei and Keheles. But aside from that, aside from their greatness in Torah, they were the apex of Malchus Yisrael. They were the greatest height of Malchus Yisrael, which Ruth played a very, very great role in. And even more so, that from this Malchus is destined to come the Mashiach Hashem, the Melech HaMashiach. And these are all descendants of Geri. Another example, there was Uncles. Uncles Hager. We have what is known as Targum. Targum is an Aramaic translation of the Sefer Torah. But it's not merely a translation, it is the translation. See? Anyone can make a translation. Some are good, some are not good. Some are good, some are better. But Targum is the translation of the Torah. Why do we say it's the translation of the Torah? Because the Gemara says Targum was nitin b'Sinai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah from Sinai, it came with a translation. It came with an Aramaic translation. And that Aramaic translation is what we call Targum. Targum Uncles. So the Gemara asks, if it came from Sinai, so why is it called Targum Uncles? Why is it called the translation that Uncles wrote? Because it was forgotten. And it took a great individual like Uncles to restore it, to recover it. So this was Uncles Hager. Another example. Gemara brings in the sugya of Perakanizok in Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Remeir. Says there was Neron. Neron was the general of the Romans, and he went and was Megayer, but Nofak Minei Remeir, and one of his descendants was the great Remeir. Remeir was from the great Tanoim, great rabbis of the Mishnah. There was Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara tells us, he himself wasn't a Ger, but he was a descendant of Gerim. Now Rabbi Kiva is many times referred to as the Rebbe of the Teresh Baal Peh, the greatest sage of the Talmud. And his disciple was Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Reb Shimon ben Yochai is referred to as the Rebbe of the Nishtar, of the concealed wisdom of the Torah. He wrote the great Zohar Kodesh. These were descendants of Geri. There are many more, Shemaev, Avtalion, many, many more. But we're only giving a few examples. So here from one aspect, we can't understand how there could be this whole concept of Gerim. And the other aspect, not only do we find such illustrious Gerim, but all of them were historical giants. And especially when it came to Torah. What is the answer to this? Excuse me 1 minute, please. Ovis. And it's the very last Mishnah. At the end of Perek Hei, Mishnah Chof Beis, the very last Mishnah of Ovis. Masechta Ovis has also a sixth chapter, but that is referred to as the Brishos. That's not part of the Mishnais, but that was a special chapter which was added on later. Shonu Chachomim B'Lishen HaMishnah, and that is called Kinyan Torah. There was a special chapter that was added on, and it writes of the greatness of the study of Torah. But the actual Sefer of the Mishnais of Masechta Ovis is five prokim, five chapters. So the last Mishnah is Ben Bagbag Emer. Ben Bagbag says, Hafechba va Hafechba de Kulaba. That you should take Torah and turn it over and turn it over. Never stop turning it over in your mind, in your studies, in your thoughts, in your labor, the kulaba, because everything is in Torah. Uba techazi, receive, ubolabo. Everything you can see in it, everything is in it, and become old over it. Person, that's the best thing for a person to age over. See, many people, they become old from worrying about troubles, from problems, from troubles, from money, whatever it is. Yeah. Best thing to become old over is labor in Torah. And never depart from it your entire life. She'ein loch mida tova heimena, because there is nothing better than it, than this. This is what Ben Bagbag said. Ben Hehe Aimer, Ben Hehe said, Lefum Tsara Agro. The reward will be in accordance to the difficulties you put into it. Many Talmidim come to a yeshiva and they sit down and learn and they say it's so difficult and they have to work so hard. That's a good sign. You should be happy about that. Because Lefum Tsara Agro, Kodesh Baruch Hu pays in accordance to the difficulty. See? In the world, it's not like that. In the world, you pay in accordance, the employer pays in accordance to what you produce. See? If it's difficult or easy, he's not interested in that. He pays in accordance to what you produce. Kodesh Baruch Hu pays in accordance to what? To the difficulty. See? That's what the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say at the, in the Siyum HaMasechta. When we finish a Masechta, we say, Heima, Onam HaMeilim VeHeim HaMeilim. We labor and they labor. Except there's a difference. See? Onam HaMeilim, Heim HaMeilim, they labor with empty things. And we labor in Divrei Torah. So he asked the question, what does it mean, we labor and they labor? We labor and receive reward, and they labor and they don't receive the reward. But everybody labors. She says the difference is they do not receive the reward. Others do not receive the reward for their labors. They receive their reward for what they produce. In Torah, you receive your reward for the labors. So therefore, if you have to work hard, that's good, because then the reward will be greater. Lefum Tsara Agra. So this is what Ben Bagbag said, and this is what Ben Hehe said. Now this Mishnah, there's a number of questions. Firstly, why was this Mishnah chosen to culminate the whole Masechta of us? Why dachte this Mishnah? What is its significance? Secondly, the Rashbam brings that he was Mekabel. He heard Midaydei from his uncle, Rabbeinu Yitzchok Bar Osher, Ben Osher, who was the Rivo. He heard from, the Rashbam was one of the Balei Tosfos. He heard from his uncle, the Rivo, that Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe were Geri. See, this was the Meseris, this was the tradition they had. That these two were Geri. So then we can ask a second question. Why was the schus of the Siyum? See, all the time when you finish a Masechta, if you're learning it together with people, so you offer one of the Chaburah, the schus, to finish off the Masechta. And that's a great schus, and especially when it comes to the mission of Masechta Ovis. So why was the schus given to two Geirim? Yeah. Two Geirim were given the schus to conclude the Masechta. So that's the second question. Thirdly, Matibu Shel Shemus Halolo. What are these names? Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe. They are certainly very strange names. They're certainly not usual names, unusual, and they're very strange. What do they mean? Now the Rashbam says what these names mean. he says, this is what he heard from his uncle. Bag is base gimel. Base gimel adds up to 5. Base is 2 and gimel is 5. So ben bag means he was a man of 5. Ben hey, that's also hey and hey. He was a man of 5. Why were they called these names? Because we have a source to tell us that hey is a letter which designates, or which is in particular relate to gaining. Where do we have this? By Avraham and Sora. Avraham's name was Avram. Aleph Beis Resh Mem. Sora's name was Sorai. Shin Resh Yud. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris, a covenant with Abraham, and he told him that now I'm going to give you the mitzvah bris milo, and vehei somim, and now you will be full, now you will be complete. In other words, now you will be total, no longer a ger. Then he added a hey to Avram's name, and Avram was no longer called Avram, but Avraham. And he added a hey to Sora's name. She was no longer called Sorai, but she was called Sora. So he says, that's why they were called Ben Bagbag, Beis Gimel, it's a hey, and Ben Hey, that's a hey. This is what the Rashbam brings from his uncle. Now, the Maral takes this, and he says a very elaborate explanation of what all of this means in his Pirush HaNovos. He says that we find that hey, the letter hey, is mesuyim for bria. Hey has to do with creation. Because in the Torah it states, Elu told the Shemaim v'oretz bihi borom. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth. These are the creations of the heavens and the earth. Bihi barom. Hi barom is an unusual word. It should have said biborom, when Hashem created them. What's the bihi barom? There's an extra hey. So the Medrash says, bihi barom behei barom. These are the creations of the heavens and the earth. Here it's specifically, it's referring to the greatest creation, which was man. Bihi barom behei barom, when he created him with a hey. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with a hey. So we see hey has to do with creation. And why is that? Man, it states, was created ofer min adoma. Vayitzar adam ofer min adoma. He was formed from the dust of the earth. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a nishmas chayim. What did he blow into his nostrils? He blew into his nostrils a nishmas. What does nishmas mean? Nishmas means a breath. See? Neshima. A breath of life. So how did the breath go into man and it went into his nostrils? It states HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew it in. And it states that he blew it from himself. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into man's nostrils, and that's what gave him life, he gave him a portion of himself. And that was the neshama. This is why we call the neshama, word neshama, from the word neshima. Because the neshama came into the person, neshima means to blow. It was blown into his nostrils. This is why also the Gemara says that when a person dies, and there's yetzias haneshama, and the neshama leaves, how does it leave the body? It leaves with the last breath. It came in through the nostrils, and it leaves with a breath, and it leaves with a breath. So this is the neshima, and the neshama. So the life that came into man was blown into his nostrils. This was part of Hashem himself. This is the neshama. This is the soul of man. Why? Therefore, does it say that Hashem created with a hey? Because there is no letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is more a letter which is more related to a breath than hey. Because how do you pronounce hey? By a breath, hey. In every letter, we have to verbalize it and we have to enunciate it. But the letter hey is verbalized and enunciated by letting out a breath, hey. And therefore, and that was the creation of man from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Yipach Ba'apov. He blew into him. Actually, the Zayah HaKadosh brings man de nofach mi delay nofach. The one that blew into him blew a part of himself into him. And therefore, that's the hey. When a person says hey, he's blowing a breath. This is why hey, the letter hey, is mesuyim, is set aside for creation. And Elu told the Shemaim Va'oretz, these are the creations of heaven and earth, Bihi Borom, Behei Borom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them with the hay, because it states he created the world with Loshon HaKodesh, say with the Hebrew language and the Hebrew alphabet. So the hay was used to blow into the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's neshama. Now it comes out like this. Avraham, before the Bris Milah, was Avram. And so was Sarai. Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making a covenant, they were going to become Tomim. Salech Lefonai V'yei Tomim. They were going to become Tomim, full, complete, lacking nothing, and they would have Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of Israel. So how will that be? Kodesh Baruch Hu will have to give them a greater neshima. He will have to give them more than they had before. He will have to blow into them a greater portion of a soul, in order to give them that total shleimus that one would need to come to the level of the Am Hashem. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after giving him the mitzvah milah, he said, no longer will you be called Avram, you will be called Avraham. I'm giving you an extra hay. And Sarai will no longer be called Sarai, but will be called Soror. I'm giving her an extra hay. And was Nitaisif, was added to them, the Vayipach Ba'apov. There was a greater Neficho, a greater creation of their soul. And we have a klal, a principle, Hashem Meir Ala Etzim. See, a person's name shows exactly what he was. Before he was Avram, now he's Avraham, he's Avram with an extra hay. And before she was Sarai, now she's Sarai with an extra hay. Oh, now we understand what our sages tell us, Ger Shinis Gayer, Kikotin Shinele Domi. See, a ger that comes and he wants to become part of Israel, he becomes like a Kotin Shinele Domi, like a newborn. Because in order for him to come up and become part of Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to add to his soul. So just like when there's a newborn, it's Vayipach Ba'apav, Hashem has to blow into his nostrils a neshima that will become his soul. So when a ger comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to blow into his nostrils a new neshima, a new breath, Vayipach Ba'apav, that will become a greater soul. So therefore, ger shenis gayer kekotin shenei ledomi. A ger that converts is like a child which is born anew. Now, we can understand the meanings of the names of these two sages, Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe.
Beis and Gimel, and Hay and Hay. They were given these names because these are names which are very appropriate for Gerim. But we still have the kasha. We have another question. He said, but still, how is it possible for them to come to Torah? If Torah was given to Israel, and not to the rest of the world, and only Israel accepted it, and only they were sanctified with it. So how is it possible for outsiders to come? And this, the Maral says something which is very noteworthy, something to remember. He says that what people say, that Torah was given to Israel and not to the Ummah, it's not to the nations of the world, he says that's a toast. That's an error. How can one say such a thing? He says, if we say that Torah was limited to Israel, then we are saying that Torah has limitations and boundaries. It's given to this nation, but not to the rest of the nations. How can Torah have boundaries and limitations when the Chazal tell us, the sages tell us, that bi yistaklu bora alma? HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, and from the Torah he used this as a master plan to create the whole world, which means that Torah is greater than the entire world together. So are you saying that Torah can only relate to one segment? Whenever you have something or someone that can relate only to one segment, that's a limitation, that's a narrowing. If Torah could only relate with Israel and not the rest of the nations, this would be a very restricting gevul, boundary in Torah. And here Torah encompasses the entire world and more, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from Torah. So he says that's a great error to say that. And to the contrary, the Chazal tell us just the opposite. The Chazal states that Hikser HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah L'chol HaUmos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to offer Torah to all of the nations of the world. He went to Yishmael, and Yishmael refused to accept it. He went to Esav, and Esav refused to accept it. Now why did he go to Yishmael and Esav? Yeah. Torah was given to the whole world. The other nations refused to accept it. Israel were the only ones who accepted it. They were the ones who said Nasiv Nishma. But not that it was only given to Israel. Torah was given to all of the nations. And Torah can relate to all of the nations. Except all of the nations rejected it. Israel were the only ones who accepted it. Now, if this is the case, what happens now if you have a member, an individual of another nation that wants to accept it? Then let him come forward. See? And this is what Gerus is. If Torah was an exclusive, you have exclusive clubs, with exclusive memberships. You have an English club, say, you can have a Russian club, you can have a Polish club. Alright. Then, if you're not English or Russian or Polish, you can't get in. But Torah was not an exclusive club. It encompassed everyone. Except the other nations refused it. Klal Yisrael stepped forward. And what happens now if you have individuals from other nations that step forward? Then ain't no chanami. He says, if they'll come forward and they want a part of Torah also, and they want to belong, they want to come close to the Shekhinah, and then if they go through the process of, like Yisrael, the process of Gerus is the same process that Yisrael went through at Har Sinai. See, if they go through Tfilo and Mila and Kabbalah Mitzvahs and Korban, then they also will have a chelik, a portion in Torah, and they will also become sanctified and commanded in the Torah. This is how they get a chelik in Torah. Now, then he says something further, which is also very noteworthy, and that is from the fact that there is this institution of Gerus. This is the testimony to the greatness of Torah. Because you don't find this with other things. By all other things, there's exclusiveness. You have to be a member of that club, or you have to be a member of that faculty, or you have to be a member of that specialty. The fact that there's the institution of Gerus, that's the testimony to the greatness of Torah. That shows that Torah is not limited at all. So Gerus testifies to the greatness of Torah. And then he says further something which is very deep. And that is the whole approach and the whole link that the convert has to Torah is that level of Torah. That highest level of Torah, that Torah is unlimited. Without that level of Torah, then the convert wouldn't have any link to Torah. But because Torah is unlimited, this is the link, this is the kesher, the bond that a ger can have to Torah. He says, that's why we find that gerim can become such great balei Torah. They can become so great in Torah, because the whole link that they have with Torah is its highest level, that it is unlimited, and it encompasses everyone. So these are a few of the observations, see, and enlightenments that he writes here. Now, what does this answer for us? Answers for us now what we asked on this Mishnah. We asked, why was this Mishnah chosen to be the final Mishnah of the Masechta? What is its particular significance? And secondly, why was the particular schus to conclude this Masechta given to Gerim? And what were the significance of their names? Now, the significance of their names we've clarified. Ben Bagbag and Ben Hehe, this is the Hey that refers to Gerim. The reason why this Mishnah was chosen to be last, because this Mishnah is telling us of the greatest attribute of Torah, that it is all-inclusive. Hafeichba vahafeichba dekulaba. Turn Torah over and over and over, because it is all-encompassing. It encompasses everything. So this is the greatest level of Torah, that it encompasses everything. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from the master plan of the Torah, therefore it's all encompassing. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, who organized the Mishnayos, he decided to conclude with this statement. Now, this statement he gave to Gerim to teach. Why? Because they are the ones who testify to this. What is the testimony? That Torah is all-encompassing, the institution of Gerus, that people can come from strange nations and they can become part of Israel. And not only they can become part of Israel, they can become, study the same Torah, and they can become great in Torah. This is the testimony that Torah is all-inclusive. So therefore, this is why the Yehuda Nosi chose this Mishnah to conclude the Masechta, and why he chose Gerim to conclude it, and why their names are signified with the Hey, because that's the extra Neshima, the Hey, the extra breath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Gerim, the Kekotin Shenele Domi, that makes them like a newborn. And that explains to us the whole concept of Gerus, that they are spiritually become a newborn, and it explains to us why there have been so many great Gerim in our history, and in particular great in Torah, because their approach to Torah is at this highest level, that the fact that the Torah has no limitations whatsoever. So these are a few concepts, both in halacha and in the understanding of this, the mitzvah of Gerus, and of how we are obligated to to interact and to treat the ger.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.